Good morning, everybody. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question, and you don't have to be honest. Do I look like I've been here 30 years? I like you, see. Who was over here that said, no, 60? Who else? Was that you? At least. Oh, 30 years. We're going to celebrate 30 years. I remember sitting in my preacher class, and Ken Sumrall was the president of the college, and he was teaching. And I never forget him stepping out like he was going to be profound and said, let me tell you guys the secret of a long pastorate. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be good. And then he said this, just don't quit. And over the years, I thought, you know, that really is profound. You just don't quit. I mean, everybody's had those days Dean talked about. Haven't you had those days where you didn't feel like you could get up and go another day? Huh? Aren't you glad you didn't quit? Anybody ever had those days you couldn't hardly put one foot in front of another one, huh? But you kept on. You're here now. And why are you here? Because you didn't quit. Exactly right. 30 years. That's right. Absolutely. And what we've been doing is going back and looking at some of those foundational things as to why God started Cathedral. I mean, after all, have you ever ridden through a town and wonder, you need another church? Good night. You got churches on every corner, right? Why in the world would you need another church? Because I thought that. But in part of the reason is this, is one of the biggest mistakes churches made is they cookie cut each other. I mean, back in the day, in certain denominations, they actually had a blueprint they would give churches because they were shaped in a T and you had sanctuary and then you would build a classroom on the left and classroom on the right when you had finally got a chance to do that. And all of them look alike. You go inside and all of them act alike. And the understanding really of the body of Christ is this, is that the body of Christ, if you have to collect all the churches and bring them together to get a whole body. Y'all with me? So you got some finger churches, you got some hand churches, you got some arm churches, you got some leg churches, you got some toe churches, you got some foot churches. You follow me? You have to bring them all together. And the thing that God wants to do, and I think the thing that's been violated so much, is that he wants to establish himself with a certain anointing over a certain church, and your job is to be yourself. I can tell you this, the toughest job that we've had is to maintain our authenticity when everybody else wants us to be like where they've come from. The biggest job that everybody here said, you think you want to do this? You want to be like this? Because everybody's got familiar to where they are, and if they were not saved here, now those of you who are saved here, you're great. Because you don't know any better. But those of you who come from other churches, then you always want to make us like somebody else. Do you know what I mean? And so the resistance of all that, and then they get unhappy because you want to please everybody. Pastor, you want to please people. But you finally can't please them. I can't do that. If you want to be something else, go some other place. Because you got one problem. The problem is we're a cathedral. And this is who we are, you know? And so in those early days, I believe God wanted to establish what cathedral is because in the DNA, Charleston, the body of Christ, needed this vision and this anointing of cathedral of who we are. That's the reason he started it. But of course, you know, part of what I was looking for, and we've been talking about it, is a place where people far from God mattered. And that was huge because this, again, the church world is once everybody comes to church hungry, particularly they're lost, and they're hungry and they get saved, and now they form this group, and if you aren't careful, that group becomes really tight and it excludes everybody else. And they forget that you're on a mission to reach everybody else, and so you want to be extremely inclusive in terms of accepting people and loving on people. Now, we have had over 200 people saved in the last couple of weeks. Is that wonderful or what? But oftentimes I've said here, and I say other places, that's remarkable. It's remarkable, but let me tell you what's more remarkable than 200 people who are accepting Christ. What's more remarkable is this, that you have 200 unsaved people hanging around you saved people. Does that make sense to you? Now, that is so biblical, because in biblical days, everybody far from God loved to hang around Jesus. They loved him. They hated hanging around religious people, but they loved Jesus. Always been in, it just always fascinated me that Jesus would come and walk through Charleston and people by the boatload would follow him, all of them far from God. But if he walked through Charleston, the people he'd have trouble with and end up fussing and fighting him were religious people because they'd try to make him just like where they came from. And Jesus said, I come for something else, you know? And so, now that's the remarkable thing. But let me tell you why that's happened. That happens because of you and because of the anointing God's got in this place. But you reflect that anointing because there's a grace about Cathedral. There's acceptance about Cathedral. There's a sense of warmth about you. There's a generosity. There's a humility. But there's also this sense of hospitality that you carry. And people, when they come, they feel warm and they feel welcome. Anybody visiting for the first time today, and you can say, I feel warm. You feel warm and welcome? Yes. Good. We're glad you're here. Super. Y'all be nice to them. Don't mess me up here, you know. But I remember years and years ago, I remember that I found out that there's a lady who came and sat on the back row during worship service, and she stayed for the whole service, but she came and she stripped downtown on Saturday nights, and she would come sit here on Sunday. And I thought, you know, I am so delighted she's here. Can you imagine being able to come to a place like this and be able to be a part of something where people loved you, they accepted you? You know, they don't care where you came from yesterday. Because here's the deal, friends. We're all on a journey. Some of us are far from God, and we're here now, but we're still not all the way, yes? And so nobody can turn around and throw any bricks. Are you with me? And so y'all didn't, and she said right here. And it did my heart so good that God's grace and your love would just flood her. That was just so wonderful. But I remember in starting the church, wanting to have a church with a second value. Not only were people far from God matter to God, but also once you came, that you'd find a safe place and a safe group that you could do life with. The church should be a safe place, yes. The church shouldn't be the place to talk about other people, yes. You shouldn't come out of the world and have people attack you in the church like they do in the world. You shouldn't. So, wonder why I wanted that. Guess what I had been exposed to otherwise. Anybody else been exposed to the fact the church may not be the safest place on earth? Huh? And so we wanted a place where people could actually journey together and do life together. And so we came to Charleston, had six people who were willing to start a church with us. We came. My first day when Dean and I got in Charleston, we arrived, we had the vans, we had the moving van stuff, and we had all U-Haul, and we had hooked all our stuff up and brought it down here. And guess where I spent the very first night after we got to Charleston? In the hospital. That's right. They said I had food poisoning. But how many of you know, even if it was food poisoning, I don't doubt that it was, that's what they said, but you get over food poisoning in a couple of days. I was in the hospital for, 5 days or so. So how many of you know, even if it is food poisoning, the enemy loves to make things that are bad anyway worse. He loves to tack a magnifying glass on it and make it bigger. And so we had stepped into the enemy's territory. We just come in here, just flying high, thinking things were great, and all of a sudden, bam. But guess who drove me to the hospital? One of the people in that group. They've been having six. And one of them drove me to the hospital. How many of you know you need people when you can't drive yourself to drive you? You know, people. Kay Brunson back here actually drove me to the hospital. You remember Kay and me laying up in that car saying, Kay, pray. Pray, Kay, pray. That's how I was sick. Yeah, and I had ulcers in Columbia before I came, so they said the ulcers made me sick. And so you know what my prayer was while I was so deadly sick? God, when I get over this, please don't let me not like oysters. And he was faithful. I still like oysters. But y'all, you remember this whole concept of small groups and challenges that God called. The Lord of the Rings, you remember you awaken yourself and you're in the middle of a great war. Well, we was awakened, and we were right in the middle of it. You remember phrases like, it's in fact our most desperate hour. God awakens your heart. You come fully alive. Your heart's blazing for him. You got this quest that we were on, and all of a sudden you run into this deep darkness. You know what that's like. And so in times like that, friends, that's when you need to biblically do what it says. You need to have some people around you. You need to have some friends. You need to have a small group. You need to have people who love you. I mean, after all, you're in a warfare, yes? And you're never going to warfare by yourself. Is that right? Never, ever. Laying up and out of the hospital, I had no idea. I had no idea. Look down the road. 30 years. And how many of you have been saved here? Let me see your hand. Look at the hands of the theater. Say, I had no idea that you were in the balance and the war was waging for your soul. And we were laying there in a group of small band of folks were fighting for future people to come into the kingdom of God. Had no idea. But we had a group who stood together who did have an idea. How many of you in here just been ministered to by cathedral? God somehow touched your heart at times. How many of you ever been down and you came and through worship, whatever, God's lifted your spirits? You've been a part of this whole war to cause God's people, go ahead, give them a hand, not to be discouraged, but to lift the load. Yeah, I mean, that's what he wants. That's his kingdom coming, helping his children, just helping you along. That's his ministry. And that's what he wanted. But, you know, of course, I didn't see that. Oftentimes people ask me, Mike, when is a high spot for you? What kind of puts it back into you, like when you have a Easter service or a Christmas service and you have so many people? You just feel really good about those kind of things. And I mean, obviously, I feel good. But let me tell you what really puts stuff back into me more than anything else at any time else. By the way, we had a homecoming Friday night at Cathedral Academy, and they had homecoming. We won, by the way. We won. Academy won, yes. And it's probably not a nice thing to beat up the churches, but we did. We beat faith, so it was good. But I'm standing there at the game, and I'm talking with Pat Stewart and his wife, who's the new head of schools. And so I'm talking to Pat, and I said to Pat this. I said, people ask me this question. I said, you didn't ask the question, but I'm going to tell you the answer. And I said, now I want you to look out over this field and the stands and all what's happening around. And I said, I want you to see something with me. I want you to see moms and dads. I want you to see grandmom and granddads. I want you to see young children, all different age children. And I want you to see them enjoying running around. You know how the ball games kids just run around just do crazy. So they're just crazy. I'm talking to ball players. No, I'm not. Anyway, the kids just run around there crazy, having a good time. Ball's happening, and I think, this is it. This is the economy. This is a worldview of what God intended when he talked about the kingdom of God happening. That kids are raised, they grow up from that age to another age. You ask them what life is like. Life is like Friday night at a ball game with my family and with friends. Life is taking going out with those family and friends afterwards to some place to eat. Or life is growing up together. That does my heart good more than anything else, because that's your whole generational thing happening. That is the kingdom of God that you grow up in like a bubble, as it were, and you relate to people who are in your tribe, in your group, and you do life with them, and you watch mom and dad do life with them. You watch them come over to the house and sit down and have meals together. You watch when crisis happens and you say, well, can you call so-and-so? Call so-and-so. And the kids watch that and they grow up in that. And that is just a natural way you do life. You have people in your life around you who love you, who care for you. And friends, you would be so totally shocked, some of you would be, at the fact that that is not the norm for most people around the world. Most people do life alone. Most people will have crisis happen and have no one to call. And that's the reason the Bible laid it out clear. You don't do that. You don't do that. The Bible says in the book of Acts, let's pull the scripture in the book of Acts, where they said that great things were happening in Acts. Look at this. So continuing daily with one accord in the, say it with me, where? The temple, right here. Wonderful things happen in the temple, yes?
Yes.
Yes, but, watch this. And they were breaking bread, though, from where? You notice they didn't break bread in the temple. You know, because you got to break it down in a smaller group where certain things can happen in a home that cannot happen in a temple. And God said, you need both of them. You need the deal happening at a temple level, temple stuff happening. But you need stuff happening on a daily basis where you're breaking bread and eating food together with what? With gladness and what? Simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So it was this combination of big group, small group. Why? Because only certain things can happen. In a large group, let me just try a few things out with you. Let's just say, for instance, would y'all agree with me that there's certain, with a group this size, that there's a certain level of information that I can go to that would be appropriate, but with a group this size, if I go to another place, it would be inappropriate for a group this size. You with me? Yes? We together? All right. What if I divide that group and just had just this middle section? Could we go deeper, yes or no? What if I divided this in half? Could we go deeper, yes or no? What if I just divided it this way and had about 12, 15 people? Could we go deeper then still? And the Bible says you should relate in a way and connect in a way that you have the trust of people enough until you share your faults with them that you might be healed. How many of you know you got to have a pretty high trust level to drop your guard and be honest? That doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen in big groups like this, does it? Well, let me try it out and see. How many of you have ever come to church like this and you're sitting here and somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, I just need to talk to you. I went downtown last night. Oh, God, it was just terrible. I hooked up with somebody I ought not to hook up with, and I drank stuff I ought not to drink. It was just awful, awful night. I woke up, didn't know where I was, but then I remember it was Sunday. I had to come to church. I just want to tell somebody, confess my faults so I'll be healed. We can go on with service right now, okay? Thank you for listening. Did that happen to y'all? It doesn't happen. I wonder. You need some time? I wonder if that's why we're not healed. See, I go a long way back. I go back to the days when I worked with alcohol and drug abuse when I said phrases like this, you're as sick as your secrets. You're as sick as your secrets. And if you never have a place that you're honest, then you roll in 1 week and roll out another week. You're sick as your secrets. Do life in a way, he said, do life in a way until the pattern that I have for you of healing and wholeness, it actually happens. Remember Lord of the Rings? Who was the head guy there? What was his name? Photo? Picture? Photo? Frodo. Oh, okay, you remember. Hey, how many did he have? Come on, how many people did he have? Who's his best friend? Sam. You remember Sam. Let me ask you this. Could he ever done it without him? Neither can you. It always, every time God ever sent a group, even the writers, non-Christian writers know this, that you need people who you can do life with. You must not go it alone. You must not. How about the Matrix? Who was the head guy in the Matrix? Come on, talk to me. Who is he? Neo. How many did he have with his tribe?
Three.
Had three that was in a circle, exactly right, but he had nine altogether. And they were on what ship? Nebuchadnezzar. See, y'all knew this. So could he ever done it by himself? Absolutely not. Well, Mike, that's just pictures. That's Hollywood. I don't even like Hollywood. That's pictures. All right, let's go to Jesus. Jesus came to be the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. He grew up 30 years old. He went out on a mission. He takes out and he's baptized. He goes out. For 40 days he's tempted, and then he starts. And what's the first thing he begins to do when he started his ministry? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And he got 12. 3 years, my friends, to establish the whole ministry of the church, the kingdom of God, where it would not fail. Minister to the masses? Oh, absolutely. But when it got down to the bottom line fact, he trained 12. And those 12 were this small group. And he'd go out and he'd minister to them, and he would come back to his group. And he said to them, he said to that group, I'll call you my friends. You're no longer servants, you're my friends. And there's no greater love than me die for you, my friends. Jesus goes to a tough place, getting ready to go to the cross. It just needs to happen before, so he ends up in this garden of Gethsemane. Carries the disciples to the garden. But friends, like you and I, there's always those other places. It's the extra mile you go inward where only a few can go with you. Your larger group can go to the garden. But when you finally go into the intimacy of your soul, he took three. And they went with him to pray. He goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't take all of them. He took three. So apparently there was three that somehow he related. Well, if he'd have been in my workplace and he would have taken the same three twice, I would have said, unfair, unfair. You got to take somebody else. Take three this time and three that time. No. You don't fare when it comes to relationships, friends. You don't fare when it comes to people who watch for your soul. You don't come for fair when people who love you enough to fight for you. That's not fair. That's people that God has divinely placed you with and joined you to. So here's a mistake a lot of people make. They will come and they will try. Look at the screen and look at all of our groups that we have going. We have over 700 in groups now, but it's not enough. Because God's pattern is that everybody's in a group. Now, when they bring this up, you're going to see a lot of different groups up here on this screen. And here's the deal. Somebody will go to one of these groups, and they'll go and they'll say, you know, I just don't fit. Anybody have an experience where you went to a group or you went to whatever, and it just didn't work for you? Good. Why? I thought it was bad. I thought I was supposed to. No. No, finding a group and finding your people and your tribe is like dating. You go, and you go to them. And if it don't happen, it don't what? It don't happen. Is that good or bad? Yeah. I mean, you don't, when you, back in the day, when you dated somebody, and you know, chemistry didn't work out, you didn't sad, and you didn't call them back up, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm never going to take you out again. It's just terrible. I'm sorry. No, nothing was wrong. You just didn't date them, and we didn't call them, yes? And so you don't go back to the group. You go through time, it's over, and you don't go back to that group. Next time it's around, you hook up with another one, you know, and you try another one, and it's like this. It's like we are the body of Christ, and I suspect that a thumb here needs to be joined beside a finger, yes? And I think the thumb needs to be joined to this part of the hand, yes? It needs to be joined to the wrist. And you go to a group that's up here, and he's not going to put you there. I mean, you end up with a funny-looking person. You don't belong there. Well, how do I find out where I belong? You just keep on going down the arm. You just keep on working. Here's another group, and you're not a muscle. Look at it. If you're sitting with your husband, look at him and say, you're not a muscle. Tell him, look at him. You're not a muscle. You don't belong there. Keep on going down the hand. Keep on going. Somebody said, keep right on going to the foot. I'm going to show him where he is. I'm not doing that. But he'll find a place you join, and that is the place you join. I mean, you can't make that happen. I was talking to a young man this week, and he told me this. It was an interesting story. He said, I've dated a lot of people, but I like basketball. But I've never dated anybody that I like more than basketball. I said, that ought to be a clue. But how many of you know when you meet the right person and you have to make a choice, basketball is gone? Yes? True love will do that. Absolutely. And I mean, why did I fall in love with Dean? Why? Because she's gorgeous. Because she's what? She's sporty. Pretty. She's intelligent. No, I dated pretty, intelligent girls before. But not as pretty and intelligent as she is. But here's what happened. When I went out with her, you talk about chemistry. You ever see those glasses mix up and the smoke comes out of them and that whole, I'm telling you, you know, and I said this before, and I say it again, is but love is blind, yes? Yes. But when I fell in love with Dean, I went deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid. But why? Now, here's what I want you to catch. Why? Because it's fun and nice as all that other stuff is I'm telling you about, in this kingdom plan God had, he had designed Dean and I to be together. And when we hit that design pattern and we linked up, it's like with these things you plug in, all of a sudden the chemistry happens. God's plan for Cathedral, before we ever went to Bible college, God's plan for my kids, all of that came right into being. And you felt all that energy and all that predestination happen, and boom, there it was. Make sense to you? I didn't go back to any of my other crowds. Ah, Paul, I'm so sorry. I just couldn't make it happen with you, you know? No. Now, friends, now watch me. If God's got you in a body, there's people in that body that are connected in a way that connects with you so that the blood, the information, the life from the head, which is Christ, flows down and flows into you and gets to you by all the joints and the ligaments that's connected with you. Are you following me? But here's a couple of things you need to know about it. Real quick, I want to tell you, and real quick, because I want the worship team, I want them to go ahead and come in, because I want to worship before I leave. Is that okay if we worship real quick before we leave? Is that okay with you guys, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, don't come. No. Y'all want to worship, yes or no?
Yes.
All right, number one, it must be small group. You understand, I made that point. It's got to be a group that you can't, this can't happen in a large, this can't happen in a large group, okay? It's got to be a small group. Number two, it's got to be enough intimacy. And by the reason I put that word specific is this, is the definition of which is into me you see. Now, everybody watch me for a moment. If you're not safe, then nobody needs to reveal themselves to you. You've got to be safe enough until somebody can drop their mask. Because I think the thing that keeps us away from this connection we're talking about is shame. And I think the shame we carry causes us to hide. And as much as this afternoon we have at 5 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come, a new convert group that I'm meeting right here back in the chapel. 5 o'clock, come, we'd love to have you. But as much as in that group, we'll teach you how to read the Bible, we'll teach you how to pray, we'll teach you all the basic stuff of new converts. But the thing that has to happen for a new convert is somewhere along the line, friend, you've got to come out of the shadows. The persona, the pretend, what you project out, you got to come out of the shadows, and it's got to drop, and it's got to drop with a group of folks who's safe enough that when you drop that and you're afraid, because you're afraid, if they really knew me, they wouldn't like me. And you risk dropping it. And there's something about being known. And something about somebody knowing your stuff who still loves you. It's divine. It's the church, friends. And quite honestly, the church has never been very good at this. To understand that everybody's on their journey and there's stuff in everybody's life, in every family, there's stuff. Yes? But you got to be in a safe place, friends. But when you reveal that stuff and somebody looks back at you, which happens so often in groups where this happens. I remember back when I used to do this kind of stuff with alcohol and drug abuse, the most marvelous thing would happen when we would get together and one person would stand up and say, my name is so-and-so, and, you know, I got a problem, and here's a problem. And then everybody would say, welcome. Me too. You're not alone. Not alone. And friend, the church is just a whole bunch of people who says, me too. You're not alone. Mine may be different, but just me too. It's just this the healing that happens when the thing is dropped and the connection that goes on, that's not because of the persona, it's because of the real. That's what you're looking for. And so what I would encourage you to do, again, is the door's still open with these groups. You can go online and you can sign up where they are, and they'll let you know if they're full or if there's other ones. Just go and do your investigation around all that. And I would encourage you just to be a part of one and then start your journey. Here you go. Just start your journey. Try it out. Just have the courage to risk it and just try. And then if it doesn't work, then look out in the last night and say, you know, I'm going on another date. You know, I'm going on another date, and that'd be just fine. I want you to stand with me if you will. You know, how many of you have experienced the faithfulness of God? Let me see your hands. Is he just so faithful? Lift up both hands. Is he so faithful? Let's just keep your hands up. Let's just sing that song, Jen, if we could. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. But just worship him. Just tell him for where you are now. Thank you for bringing me where I am now. Thank you for watching out for me. Thank you for keeping your hands on my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for watching out. I could have been so many different places. You are so faithful. Let's sing it out loud to him, would you?